KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. The White House says President Obama has declared a disaster in Alaska for damage from November storms, which brought destructive winds and flooding. The major disaster declaration is in effect for damages that occurred from November 5th to November 14th. The announcement says federal aid will supplement state and local recovery efforts in areas affected by storms. Funding will be available to the state and eligible local governments and even some private nonprofit agencies. The funding will be available on a cost-sharing basis in the Fairbanks North Star Borough and the Bering Strait, Lower Kuskokwim, and Lower Yukon Regional Education Attendance Areas. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation employs more than 1,600 people. It's the largest employer in Bethel and has been led by Gene Peltola Sr. for 24 years. However, the CEO spent this past weekend clearing out his office amid controversy with the board of directors. Peltola announced his expected retirement January 10th. He said he'd work through April, yet just days later, YKHC's board of directors told him to leave immediately. The board is not speaking publicly about the issue. Their decision came in a closed executive session. In a release, the board said they bought out the remainder of Peltola's contract and his early retirement was effective immediately. Peltola took over as CEO in 1990. Back then, YKHC was going through tough times. 36 staff had been laid off and most of the director positions were vacant.
And immediately I was able to fill those positions with quality people and competent people. And that was the crux of the turnaround of the corporation.
YKHC's annual budget was between $10 and $11 million back then. Now, $175 million. Peltola said he got marching orders from the board for three things: to pursue sub-regional clinics in the villages, move the hospital from the Indian Health Service to tribal management, and to consolidate offices into one main building in Bethel. He accomplished all three. Through Denali Commission funds, he brought 37 new health clinics to the villages. Peltola has seen the corporation through two major lawsuits with the federal government fighting for shortfalls in BIA-IHS funding. In 2007, they won $42 million, which was put into a permanent fund. Another settlement last month is bringing in $40 million in back pay. Peltola says tribal organizations have been shortchanged for a while and that funding has been the biggest challenge of the job. It's hard when money comes from people who do not understand just how expensive remote services are. Recently, the health corporation spent $18 million developing a system for electronic health records. Peltola says these successes happen because smart people are working at the corporation. He says it's important for a CEO to have good people under them. YKHC's board has hired its chief legal counsel, Dan Winkleman, to replace Peltola, someone Peltola had been grooming for the job. During the State of the State address on Wednesday night, Governor Sean Parnell laid out an agenda that was friendly to school choice movement, and he made a commitment to increase school funding if it passes. The deal he presented to state lawmakers is basically this: they give parents more options beyond traditional public schools, and he'd in turn give those public schools more money for the next 3 years. Parnell did not specify how much funding, but he did say it would come through the base student allocation. That's the dollar amount a school gets for each child enrolled. That number has sat at around $5,700 for the past 4 years, and school districts have been clamoring for an increase in the face of budget shortfalls. But the announcement came with strings attached. One item Parnell specified would amend the Alaska Constitution so that the state could fund private institutions, including religious ones. The resolution does not set up a school voucher system, but it would allow lawmakers to design one if they wanted. For it to pass, it needs support from two-thirds of the legislature and then a majority vote of the people. Parnell described this as expanding choice. He said too many students are being put on wait lists for the state's public charter schools because of restrictive state laws. He encouraged the legislature to pass a law giving parents the right to appeal if a school board denies their application to start a charter school. Elsewhere in the speech, Parnell said it was essential to continue to expand the number and type of regional residential schools. This was a nod to the state's rural areas, where charter schools and private schools are in short supply, And the only alternative kids have to their local public school is homeschooling or boarding schools like Mount Edgecombe and Sitka. Parnell called for continued support of the Alaska Digital Teaching Initiative, which lets students take classes at other schools through a video link. During his address, the governor also spoke favorably of expanding vocational education, letting kids test out of classes for credit, and allowing for dual credit options that could count toward high school graduation and career certification. In all, Parnell spent nearly half of his annual speech on education. It got more time than his recommendations on fiscal policy, the proposed gas line, and the state's pension liabilities combined. No mention was made of the state's budget shortfall, which is expected to approach $2 billion this year. A team of archaeologists from the University of Aberdeen, Scotland, have been racing against Mother Nature. In 2009, Dr. Rick Connect was notified by residents in Quinnahock of an old village site, Nunatluk, that was literally being eaten by the ocean and rising seawater. They've collected roughly 20,000 pieces since 2009, and just recently, the Aberdeen archaeologists received a $1.8 million grant to continue their work at the site near Quinnahock.
We're really excited about it. When we first found the site, it looked really promising. And every year, it exceeds all of our expectations in terms of the kinds of artifacts that come out of there.
Dr. Connect explains the site is unique and extremely rare because of the level of preservation. The artifacts were deposited in a fairly damp environment to begin with. Since then, they've spent most of the last 500 to 700 years frozen in permafrost.
Because of that, they're in great shape, and we find things that we very seldom see in archaeological sites. You know, usually as an archaeologist, you just find stones and bones, if you're lucky. And in this case, we get just about everything that people owned. Things of carved wood are about 70 to 80% of the assemblage, some with the paint still on them, and that includes bent wood bowls, pieces of sleds and weapons and kayaks.
And they found arrow shafts, pieces from harpoons, and carved figurines and masks. Dr. Connect says they've even found pieces made of woven beech grass.
And both the roots and the blades, and sometimes the blades are still green when we first find them. Also, we find pieces of leather, hide, cut pieces of clothing. We found the bottom of a boot, a traditional Yupik Eskimo boot with all the crimping in the toe and the stitch marks still in it. Amazing stuff.
And remember, these artifacts are 500 to 700 years old. Dr. Connect knows there's more to excavate, more to recover, and more to preserve. The funding his team recently received will give them 4 more years of excavating near Quinnahock, but things are melting. There's less ice cover in the winter, and storms hit western Alaska more frequently. The oceans are rising, and all this contributes to erosion.
Elders tell us that the site used to stick out another 30 meters, and since we first saw the site in 2009, we've been measuring it with high-precision surveying gear, and we've seen the site retreat more than 10 meters just since 2009. And so we've got a pretty narrow window to try to save this stuff. One good storm could still wipe it out.
What's ironic is that the old site was preserved because of a time of rapid climate change during the Little Ice Age. They're being unearthed during a time of rapid climate change. The quick freeze 500 to 700 years ago has Dr. Connect and his team looking forward to the next 4 years of recovery.
We find something amazing every 10 or 20 minutes. That's just jaw-dropping. I've been digging in Alaska for more than 30 years, and it's the best archaeology I've ever seen. And it's the best anyone's ever seen. We're just going to be spoiled rotten for the rest of our lives now.
Dr. Rick Connect says the artifacts will eventually return to the Native Corporation in Quinnahock once they are conserved using a wax-like substance. The polyethylene glycol replaces the water absorbed by the artifacts. To hear more about the Nunatluk site from Dr. Rick Connect, tune in to Profiles after the 9 a.m., so after this newscast and the weather, also after the 6 p.m. weather. The price of gold in New York down $1.50 an ounce to $1,264.10. An ounce of silver at $19.88, down 24 cents. It's unofficially 34 degrees at the KNOM studios, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock.